Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who's with me? He's cute. He's thin. He's adorable. He's freshly shaved and very pink today. Mr. Ben Mantelke. Hello, Ben.
Hi.
Darling. Hi, how are you?
I'm a vision of pinkiness. I'm just so pink. It's in honor of Lisa Vanderpump. I was like, let me dress like an English rose. I'll be pink. Pink, I say.
Yes, it's Vanderpump Rules Day today here on the show. A couple things first. I'll make them quick, okay, because I love a quick shill. First, we're on Crappens On Demand. So, hi, we're on video. If you want videos, go to patreon.com/watchcrappens. Sign up on the Crappens Demand On Demand level, okay? Also, we are on tour starting in January in New York City, but we're going to tons of cities. So, go get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. January is our 10th anniversary show at Town Hall in New York. It's for the Golden Crappy Awards. So go get tickets for that. We're super excited to come out on the road. We also do a show called Take a Seat Now on the Green Room app, which is by Spotify. So download that. That's a live show we do every Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. You guys talk back to us. You chat with each other. We talk. It's not a recap show. We just talk a bunch of crap. And go buy this cookbook by Amy Phillips and Chef Stuart O'Keefe. Okay, forward by Andy Cohen. Every recipe asks you, hey, did you get new boobs before you cook it? It's called Cook It, Spill It, and Throw It, the Not-So-Real Housewives Parody Cookbook, unauthorized by Amy. So I just got my copy today in the mail, so I'm just going to open a page and cook some shit. Maybe some blueberry muffins from Nini. Okay, there you go, guys. So that's it, Ben.
Okay, Ronnie, I have to say, there was some sort of internet thing, and I don't know what's going on, but you are about 5 seconds. I hear your audio in real life, but I'm seeing your video.
God damn it.
5 second delay.
Well, I'm still seeing my video.
Do you
want
to start
fine.
Over, or do you want to just commit your audio?
I say
fine?
We just go, because I'm looking, yeah, I'm looking fine to me. So I
think you're somebody. Just, wait, you just caught up. You just caught up.
Yeah, I think that sounds like somebody has their Safari open, and his name rhymes with Men, and it starts with the B. Someone is playing solitaire or some shit, or got his Dropbox open, or looking at the Twitter. Okay, I know what you do over there. I don't need to have an inside to your screen to know what you're doing over there, sir. Okay.
Well, yes, I'm looking at porn.
Well, yes.
As we speak, I'm watching Pornhub because nothing gets me hornier than Lisa Vanderpump. So,
she's got pump in her name.
It's true. So this is a very exciting episode of Vanderpump Rules because there was like this season's been very strong with the Broken Bird stuff. I think that maybe elevating Raquel to like this new prominent role on the show has really upped the Broken Birdingness. And then Lala has really, you know, leaned into some Broken Bird stuff. So we're getting a lot of Lisa Vanderpump absorbing Broken Bird energy face, which I don't know if we've ever really talked about this, but when Lisa Vanderpump encounters someone who is a broken bird, she gives this face that's like, like her mouth sort of like hangs open. And then like if she's really digging the broken bird, if she's really feeding off the energy, she closes her mouth and crinkles up her chin. She goes.
She has been doing a pulled back face frown look a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's just how the fillers are sitting or, you know, whatever it is. Or she's just trying to look interested because usually she comes and she's like really interested. And now she's just kind of spouting off her lines like, darling, you're in my house again. All right. So we're talking about possible abuse. James, watch your temper. It's like, ma'am, is this an abuse storyline or is it not? Because Raquel is acting like it's an abuse storyline. And Vanderpump's over there just throwing out zingers like, oh, James is so funny with his possible abuse. You know, it's like, what the hell's going on here? And I thought about it and I think maybe she's just like so casual because she's just been on TV for so long and she's probably just tired. She probably just wants to relax. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She's had a very hard life in Villa Rosa.
It's so, very difficult there. That's a lot of animal shit. You know, I know she makes it look easy, but, you know, oh, she's got a lot of employees too, I'm sure. But constantly being in the smell of just shit and not just like dog shit or human shit, but all kinds of shit. There's all kinds of shit over there, okay, that she has to and Ken,
flowers.
You know, she's sleeping next to a shit bag named Ken. You know that he's just a leaky sieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just like one big leaky zit. By the way, Ronnie, I want to point out I have a zit on my nose. I love what...
Stop staring at yourself while your Dropbox is loading and you're reading Twitter while we're trying to do a show.
My Dropbox is not loading. It's on pause, sir. So the episode starts off with a Trixie Monocle song. Great, just a good sort of like classic style Trixie Monocle, a good throwback to her origins. And it goes like this. Come watch me do it, because when I do it, I only do it under the neon lights.
It's a weird place to do it. You
whatever know? It is she is doing, why is she doing it under a neon light?
Maybe she's a CSI investigator.
Maybe it's Mark Helgenberger all this time. We just never realized.
That's a Mark Helgenberger song. I only do it under the neon lights, you know? Look for blood spatter.
Yeah, so then we see Tom and Brock and James. They're all playing basketball. And I kind of felt bad because I was like, ugh, another scene with them wearing wigs. And then I realized, no, I literally thought that. I was like, oh, actually, I forgot. That's actually Brock's hair. Big, beautiful hair. But I just sort of had a natural reaction to the long hair as like, oh.
Boys with long hair? What year is this?
Oh, it's
on my little pony? Famous. Come on.
And I thought it was like very poetic that they were playing basketball at some sort of youth center. I was like, wow, the lengths this cast will go to recapture their youth. We'll go to a youth center. We'll give it back to us.
So then we see Ariana and Charlie having coffee. And Charlie is really weird on TV. I'm not really sure what's going on with Charlie, but she chooses a different demeanor for each scene. And this one, she's just like really happy and has never been to a coffee shop before. And she's just like, hi, you know what? I think I'm going to do the black coffee.
Yeah. They're getting beignets and everything. So while she's doing that, we go home.
Well, no, she can't get a beignet, you know, because that's her big storyline is she's only eaten pizza her whole life. So this is like a huge deal. She's going for beignets and she's like, you know what? I'm going to try a beignet. Where's my fucking storyline? Where's my medal? I've been eating shit my whole life. You know, nobody's ever thrown me a party for it.
Yeah. Also, I mean, like I do respect that Charlie has food issues, although I think the beignet, like, you know, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to be like give a round of applause for deciding to like climb the insurmountable mountain that is trying a beignet, like a delicious breaded item that's fried. Like, I'm like, if you like pizza, you're probably gonna like a beignet. Like, if it was something like she went from from pizza to, you know, like caviar or like gooey duck or something, like, okay, that's a pretty big move, but to go to beignet, it's a little bit of a lateral move for me, so I will withhold my applause until later.
Well, I'll withhold it too, because I'm sick of them being called beignets. They should be called Ronniers. Life is unfair and I don't appreciate it. Why do you get all the good things? There's nothing named after me. There's like Rondelay cheese, which is fucking lame and everybody knows it.
What about, I'm going to think about this. I know that there's like a good like Ron. There's a good Ronnie. Macaroni and cheese. Hello.
That's true. That's, you know what? Literally thank you. You just actually like, made my day better.
You're literally in the, like I have like something that's delicious, but kind of like regionally specific. And yours is like universally loved in many different forms.
Ben,
and
you
also make
you.
A great version of it. Macaroni, carom, and cheese.
You just solved my own food name issues. Thank you. It's a breakthrough episode for all of us. Okay, so then we go to Schwartz, who is still playing basketball, and he like does he do a chest bump with Brock
like chest,
and it hurts
it's like
him?
It's like a check. He like tries to do like a check with his chest against Brock, which no frail man should ever do because it's it's like throwing yourself in front of a Mack truck essentially. It's like, Oh, Australian Bubba, you hurt me.
Yeah, and then he, like, does a jump, but then falls on his face. So, obviously, in other words, James and Brock win. So, they all sit down and talk, and Schwartz is like, wow, you know, this was really nice, because, like, I didn't think about one thing outside this game the entire time. And Brock's like, listen, all I saw was Schwartz's face, and all I saw was it screaming at me. What a wuss. Burned into my memory forever. How? You're like a stone.
And so then the Brock's like, what's going on with you? Bah. And so Sam Neill's telling them that they have, like, we have a deadline for Friday, and it's like, we need to have a mission statement, and then we're going to have, like, a brainstorm set. We're going to have, like, a deep dive on what we're going to do. We're going to do that this week. So sort of setting up this, like, scene they'll be having later.
Just what the audience requested. More Tom scenes in Phillips Hughes lighting, okay? Just what we all fucking needed. Thanks, guys. So then they start talking about the party at Vanderpump's, or the watermelon
James
martini
is like,
tasting or whatever.
How is the tasting? And so Tom Schwartz like, oh, it was really intense. Like Brock's chest. Oh.
Ow.
And Sandoval, ow, I got hurt by the tasting. I got hurt by the memory in the chest. Ow.
That memory hurt my nipple.
So Sandoval's like, well, over the years, Lala's come after people, but you're not allowed to bring up personal stuff with her. Like, yeah, of course I've heard weird rumors about Randall, but I'm not going to bring them up. You know, so he's sort of like teetering in this Camille Grammer space right now, which I appreciate.
Yes, he is in the Housewives. I can bring up your shit too, lady, okay?
Yeah.
And he tells us, look, I've gotten DMs about their relationship. Like, we've never been able to know anything beyond surface level about Lala. What do you think is beyond surface level about Lala? She thinks Tupac lives inside of her, okay? And she wears a t-shirt with her own face on it. Now, the second part I do as well, okay? But I'm not saying that there's much past surface level with me either. So my question remains the same.
No, there's a lot more to you, Ronnie, than there is to Lala. I'm sorry to say.
That's
for
Lala's
sake.
I mean, what are you trying to marry me today? What the hell?
I mean, Ronnie, last time I checked, like, you're part of Macaroni and Cheese, and what is she part of? Farfalala? So she
that is a popular song. Although it's royalty free at this point because it's been out for so long. You're an old Christmas song.
Farfalala. Farfalala.
No, you're not giving her a pasta on this. Okay, now you're trying to get a divorce. The day
you give me macaroni and cheese, you give her
Farfalla.
She has to attach herself to even get to be part of Farfalla because there's not even a second La on Farfalla. She has to try to. And that's so Lala. That's so Lala to try to attach herself onto like the bow tie pasta because like that's like the most Lisa Vanderpump pasta, obviously, because it's like, what she wears in interviews. Yeah.
It really is. So James is like, I'm doing the soft opening of See You Next Tuesday this week. It's coming, boys. And Sandoval's so like, I just don't want to be awkward. It's going to be. You're going to a place you used to all wait tables on a night called Cut Fitness. Okay? It's good. Yeah. It's going to be awkward. To watch James, the white guy, do terrible, easy-ass raps. Okay? It's awkward no matter how you splice it.
Also, gosh, like 4 or 5 seasons in, still trying to make See You Next Tuesday happen at Sir. And it's not going to happen, guys. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. So so James is like he thinks that like everything has to be sorted out between Sandoval and Lala. And Sandoval's like, well, the other night didn't go so great. So maybe we should have a nice constructive conversation. Which we know is never going to happen between the two of them. Mm.
So back to the beignet place. Charlie's talking about how she's working at Sir later. And she needs money to move in because she's moving in with Corey, her boyfriend. And she tells us about Corey. She's like, yeah, with Corey? Like, I know I'm with Corey, but it's, like, different because, like, I've been with Corey, but, like, we haven't been, like, in our own place. So, like, we're going to have our own place, which is different than being together at, like, his place. So it's going to be different because we're together, but now we're going to be together, like, in a different place.
Yeah. I'm dating a playboy and like, I mean, look at him. He's a tall dude with tattoos and he's good looking and he has good style. I mean, no personality that we can see, but he's got those things, right? Match made in heaven.
I mean, who hasn't he fucked, right? We're all looking for different things in men, but who wants a boyfriend that you're like, wow, who hasn't he fucked in West Hollywood?
I don't think we want like a faux Pete Davidson, right? Like, I don't think we want Pete Davidson to begin with, right?
It sounds like a lot of scabs. So Charlie is like, wow, you know, here's something that's really good. Like being with Corey, I've like tried so much food. Like it's gotten so much better. And Ariana's like, wow, you're trying food? You have a life of so many firsts ahead of you. And I really like how bored Ariana is in this whole scene. She's like, I have a fucking beignet in front of me and I'm still not happy.
I think she was just in it for the beignets. I think she's just like, I'm going to nod and just sort of say simple things to you. Just let me have my beignet, right? And so Charlie's like, I can't sit behind these eating issues. Like, I can't have this cloud over my head. And Ariana's like, well, when you put yourself, something of yourself out there like that, now we share that and you don't have to hold that on your own. Is that good enough? Can I have my beignet now?
Have I said enough words to make my check for the week?
That sounds nice, right?
Right. And Charlie tells us, for so many years, I just ate the same thing. Pizza, peanut butter jelly, quesadillas. I just need more specifics, because to me, this sounds like normal life. So I'm like, what the hell? Should I be suing my parents? Because this is what I was taught to eat. And obviously, look at me. It's still what I eat. This is all the food groups she just named. So to me, it sounds great, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I support it. She goes, but Corey was like, absolutely not. And so you sort of think she's going to say, he was like, we're going to like help you get through this, yada, yada. But she goes, no, we're not eating the same fucking thing every single day. So that's what Corey's response was like, it's about me, right?
Well, he is on Vanderpump Rules.
Exactly.
So she's like, oh my God. And now I'm like trying so many new things and I'm like so vulnerable. Which, bachelor speak. Bachelor speak needs to get the fuck off of Bravo. I'm going fucking crazy with the vulnerable and the walls down bullshit, okay? You're eating something other than pizza for a day, okay? This is not The Bachelor.
Beignets are powerful, man. You know?
That's true. That's true. A lot. I mean, think back to your first beignet, you know?
It's life-changing. So, yeah, she's crying and learning how to be vulnerable. And Ariana tells us, you know, everyone in this group is, like, messed up. Like, you might as well be like, here's what's fucked up about me. Like, I'm fucking into sketch comedy. Like, that's my issue. So get into it or get the fuck out. That was improv, also part of sketch comedy. I'm, like, really good at it.
So Charlie's like, we could do a culinary night, like tapas, and then everyone can bring food and, like, try it. Oh, my God. Yeah. And she's like, thanks for the free therapy.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we go to LVP's home and Raquel comes over and she's, you know, doing the, how do you feel differently now that you're an engaged woman? Ooh.
Yeah. And she's like, Lisa looks at her, like, looks at her ring and is like, well, Raquel's got a good starter diamond. The one I started with was like a little pinprick, but then I started housekeeping and cooking and Kama Sutra, baby. And I wound up with this giant ring. I'm like, I don't know if that's going to be the trajectory for James and Raquel necessarily.
Yeah. I still think that thing is fake. And I think he has the confidence in knowing that she's never going to get it checked. But I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe his mom would let him spend that much money. His mom would take that money, you know? There's something fishy there. So Vanderpump's like, well, I've called my friend who's a world-renowned plastic surgeon from E-Television. So it's Paul, of course. And Paul, you know, love Paul. Paul's great. Really hard to watch Paul without Adrian. Because the best thing about Paul is his wife standing behind him going, stupid, you're an idiot. God damn it, moron. Dumbass. What, you think you can fix a nose? Stupid.
I know. I really want Adrian to be like working the front office. Like sort of like on Secrets and Wives, how there was the plastic surgeon on that show, but then one of the wives was like working and like made everyone wear blazers. That's what I want Adrian to do. I want that kind of energy in his office.
Yeah, but she's the ex-wife, so it wouldn't work. I think now he has like a really nice, loving wife, which what's the point? I don't want to watch you on my TV. Go away with your happy relationship.
So Lisa's like, well, I think that this poor girl paid $16,000 for it. And goes, well, I'm a lot more than that. How much? Well, probably double that. So,
well,
which is clear.
You have to understand, this girl, they took the bandages off and then she couldn't do math of any kind or give speeches. Also, her nose was crooked. Darling, can you fix that, Paul?
Her nose was 1 millimeter crooked, and now none of us can look at her. It's terrible. Please fix this for all of us.
Bring it in. I will straighten her boobs. Paul, come on, darling.
I mean, by the way, they're clearly setting up a moment where Lisa says, Raquel, you don't have to pay a thing. It's on me. Like, they're clearly setting up a Lisa being a wonderful benefactor scene for next episode, right?
Well, they better. I mean, what the hell? You make this kid go to the most expensive plastic surgeon probably ever.
I know.
And he gets TV time. I mean, everybody else gets free weddings for this shit. She better get a free nose.
Yeah, no, there's no way they're going to charge Raquel $32,000 for Paul Nassif, literally like one of the top plastic surgeons. So Lisa's going to take Raquel to Paul, and she's like, "Are you okay? Is there anything broken, Pops, about you, my little bird?
Because I'm ready. I haven't heard your tweet. Is something wrong?" And Raquel's like, "There's something I want to tell you. There's more to the story." And she's like, "Why are you shaking, Raquel? Tweet, tweet, Rosia, bring out the broken bird leather bag.
Hold on, let me get into my energy feeding chair. Okay, I'm ready to receive all of your broken bird energy. Fill me up, Raquel.
Oh. Bird stethoscope, stat. Go, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Why are you shaking? Can you shake some more? This is wonderful. She's shaking."
She's like, "I only shake that hard on my birthdays and Christmas. Get it? All right. It was the wrong time for that broken bird. All right. The bird thermometer stat. All right. Here we go." So she's like, "Well, I'm like having a panic attack because I really didn't want to tell anybody this.
It's so good. Panic attacks. It's so good, Raquel. Keep going."
"Well, James bumped my nose 1 week after I got the cast off." And she's like, "What do you mean bumped your nose?" She's like, "Well, he went in really hard and fast for a kiss." "What kind of kiss is this? That doesn't make any sense."
This kiss. Oh, enough with that song. Just tell me. "Well, he went so hard. Has anybody hit you?" She goes, "Hit me?" Like, she asks it as if like it's a crazy question. And then Raquel tells us, "I know it doesn't look great, but James has created a reputation for himself and he has a history of blowing up on people." I'm like, yes, Raquel, that's why we're all like, please get out of this relationship. What are you doing with him? He has created that reputation and you're willing to sort of engage with that. Why?
Yeah, and then we see a clip of James's greatest hits, 2015. "You're a fucking lying slut. You fuck everyone at Circus, Dan." And 2017. "You're trash, you pathetic, stupid fucking whore." And 2018. "Fuck everyone." Like, geez, James.
Yeah, it's charming. So Raquel's like, she's like, "I just didn't want people to jump to conclusions." So then she tells Lisa that actually when it happened, James's entire family was there. So they all saw it. So they can vouch for it. And Lisa goes, I believe you. And so then Raquel
She's like, I believe you. Please don't make me shoot a scene with his mother, Jacqueline. She's an awful person. All right, I'll take your word for it.
Not another scene, please. So Raquel goes, "So yeah, it happened. And then I looked at James's mom and said, is it okay? And she said, it looked like my nose was touching my cheek." Like, how evil is James's mom? And she's trying to be so nice these days. That is such a mean thing to say to someone. Like, how, like, because it doesn't look like that at all, by the way.
It's also so typical that she was with James's mom when this happened and no one thought to take her to the hospital or the doctor. Right. Her nose is on her cheek. And of course, Jacqueline's like, oh my God, don't tell on James. Get the fuck out of this family. They're terrible people.
And why did James come in that fast? That is a good question. I mean, that's not... like, that's crazy that he would just, unless it was like one of these things, if it were one of these things where they both turn to each other at the same time and it's like, boom, you know, but then that would be the story that we both turn to each other and there was that. But if he came in for a kiss super aggressively, I mean,
well, maybe I mean, too much I can see that. It just looks, it's just sounding like she's describing some kind of abuse. And it's just really uncomfortable because it's, like she said, he's built that reputation for himself. But even just seeing how he's acting right now in this episode, like, it's very plausible. So having her set it up like that is just weird. I don't like any of this. So she's telling her, James flipped out and he knew he fucked up and he felt so terrible. Which sounds like what happens after abuse, right? So, and then he took it out on his mom and I felt really bad for her. And she's like, well, you know, why? Because she said it doesn't look okay. She goes, no, like he was rocking back and forth in the fetal position over and over screaming, don't let her be ugly, mommy. Please don't let her be ugly. I can't be with an ugly girl, mommy.
This gives me some cause for concern because, again, James is raging. I mean, he's improved, but he's not there yet. You know, and then she says, I wish you had told me before because I feel like an idiot saying the nose is going at this angle. Now you tell me it's something different. I'm like, oh, I mean, like, why does Lisa feel like
who fucking cares? Who cares? Who cares how it happened? The nose is still the same. This whole thing is crazy of like,
why is Lisa
Paul's not going to know that was from a rushed kiss. He is the most popular surgeon in Beverly Hills. He must know exactly how this. No, the fucking fender is off the car. Put the fender back on the car, okay?
I think she's trying to sort of like lightly shame Raquel into like always telling the truth and not protect, you know. She's sort of, I think she's trying to teach a lesson that like, oh, someone's trying to do you a favor and you lied to that person. You shouldn't do that. You know, I think there was like a little bit of a
standard Vanderpump.
Yeah.
So then she's like, well, let's go anyway. See Paul anyway. And I'll tell him about your lie nose. Maybe he'll have some way to fix a lie nose as well. We should check.
Oh, it's so strange for such a liar that you're. Nose has not poked me in the face yet, Pinocchio!
Yeah, you know who else had trouble getting his nose working properly? Pinocchio! Lie, 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 lie. Lie, lie. We've got a la-la, now we can have a lie-lie. How about that?
At least Pinocchio's nose went in the right direction, Raquel. So then Raquel's like, well, James just said he doesn't want this to be a big deal, and, like, I don't want it to be a big deal. And Lisa goes, what do you mean it's not a big deal? Your nose is on the side of your cheek. Don't spend your life protecting him. Your nose is literally touching your ear, Raquel. It's ridiculous.
Don't spend your life protecting James.
Why are they saying her nose is touching the side of the cheek?
Because that's what her mom said when she hurt the nose. It was, like, on the side of the cheek. So she's like, why are you saying it's no big deal if your nose was on the side of your cheek when you hit it? But also, isn't protecting marriage vows? Just don't marry him, okay? Is the point. So, upcoming wacky Tom's wasted scene, Jesus Christ. That's my next note. Okay, so Bubba. We go to Bubba's house, and instead of their big Bubba painting above the couch, now they have a Bubba whiteboard where they just write Bubba a lot. And it's just like, Bubba pasta. Bubba, Bubba. Love you, Bubba. Love you back, Bubba.
Yeah, it's like living art. You know, like it can change, it can move, it can like, you know, it's a lot. It's kind of like the next evolution of Bubba art. So Katie's in the kitchen and Lala comes in and she's like, oh, my God, Katie, my handyman did such a good job with the door. It's like no one even tried to bust through it. So then Katie tells a story as if this is like, you know, just a, you know, this is just a normal thing that happened. She goes, so Schwartz was at Sandoval's at all night and I was like really annoyed by it. So I jammed the door shut, and then when he came home, he just busted down the door like Kool-Aid Man. I'm like, all of this sounds wrong. Also, isn't there a back door? I mean, I don't know. Like, they always tell these like funny little stories, but like when you think about it, like that's not normal. That's not healthy.
On either one of your parts.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. This show's really bugging me today. Like every scene, I'm like, wait. So that's abusive, right? Like a guy kicking down your door. So we have the possible abuse storyline, and then we have you locking Tom out and then him knocking down the door. What the fuck is going on with this show? At the same time, the Brock deadbeat dad domestic violence thing is going on. Funny games, guys. Funny games. So Lala's like, what the fuck was last night, dude? Sandoval. I mean, usually I'm a tough bitch, but like, not only are you bullying me, you're also being a troll. You know what bad bitches never say? You're bullying me. I've never heard a bad bitch in my entire life say, you're bullying me.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you. I'm sure Tupac living inside her also probably wouldn't say that. So then Ariana joins and she's like, ugh, you should see my house. It looks like a light store. I'd rather go back to the beignet shop with Charlie. So then we see that Sandoval is like setting up a million lights in his house or at their house.
Yeah, I just wrote ugh. So then Ariana's like, do you have a bigger glass? So they go sit on the couch and Ariana's like, wow, look at all your candles lit. And Katie's like, that was an expensive candle. God, that's fucking Katie. You know, when you go to those stores and you're like, who the fuck is spending enough money on candles that they can afford a space like in the prime real estate of West Hollywood? You know, that candle store in West Hollywood. It's like, who's going
candle,
there? Katie's.
Candle like delirium or something. The one on Santa Monica?
Yeah, Candelarium, yeah. So I think that's what it's called. So, yeah, it's Katie. So Katie's like, okay, so, because it's quiet, they have nothing to talk about. So she's like, well, before you walked in, we were talking about last night. And Lala's like, yeah, what's that? And she's like, I don't know. I just kind of checked out because everyone was yelling at each other. So I was thinking, you know what? Tomorrow you get to shoot a beignet scene. So
just think of the beignets. So Lala's like, yeah, but like Tom started the yelling. And Ariana nods and she goes, yeah, that's like one thing about that I like about him. He's very, like, it sounds like she's going to say, like, he's very passionate about the things that he, whatever, he's going that way. And Lala goes, oh, he yells at women? And Ariana goes, well, he yells at anybody. Oh, because he did it to Stassi. He does it to Katie. He used the F word with Lisa. Like, kind of attacking women verbally, right? I'm like, oh, Lala, don't, I'm sorry, Lala. If this were Jax, that's one thing. But I'm sorry, I see what Lala's trying to do here, and I'm not going to co-sign it.
Right. Especially when your little teammate is Katie, who later we see the clip of her being like, why are you saying I'm attacking you? Because I'm calling you a whore. It's like, give me a break with your faux feminism when it's convenient. Now, that said, Tom Sandoval shouldn't be yelling at women, but Lala was yelling at Tom. What the hell? They even showed the clip of her yelling at Tom in this. So yeah. She's like, you know, I guess I'll give him the opportunity to purge, maybe. And Ariana's like, yeah, he's never going to be that person who comes into a room and is like a dick. Like, he's always going to be cordial and cool no matter what. And she goes, oh, so you're saying like he oils you up and then he's like, here's the sparkling water with the flower in it. No.
Yeah.
She said that he may not like you, but he's not going to be a dick to you every time he sees you. Stop. She twists every fucking thing the rest of this episode. Every single thing that comes out of her mouth.
She always does, and she always has, and in the past, I've always enjoyed that about her. But I think that like now, she is Lala has definitely taken this like high and mighty stance. Like, I'm married, I'm an adult now, and then she does talk to she does talk like so rudely to people, and then when people push back, she twists it like, how am I the bad guy? I'm the good friend here. Oh my god, you always yell at women. She always does that, and I think she actually discredits the people who really are who are the victims of that and the people who do that. Like, she's kind of like, I'm not down with that. And so Lala's like, she goes, I don't want you in the middle. I just want to shed light. And like, you can't, like, fine. But I will be having a discussion with your man, Sandoval. I like that. She's like, I don't want to put you in the middle, but I am going to accuse your long-term boyfriend of being a raging misogynist with rage issues. But I'm not going to put you in the middle.
Right. She goes, yeah, I'm not going to put you in the middle. I just wanted you to shed some light, and you're telling me you can't. So that's fine. I'm like, okay, I can. You're sticking your hypocritical, you know, restling contoured nose in where it doesn't belong, trying to ruin a relationship. And you got called on it, and you look like a fucking moron in a situation that's literally the easiest to look good in by calling out a deadbeat dad. And now you're crying bullying and misogyny because you fucking lost. Okay?
Yeah.
That's that's what's happening. So Lala's like,
the last one down in Georgia.
It's like, shut up, Lala. So she's like, oh, that's fine. I'll be having a discussion with your man. And she's like, okay, good.
Yeah. So then we go to Sandoval.
Ariana just stays completely calm no matter what. She's like, okay. Smelling this delicious $100 candle now? Thanks.
Well, because Ariana knows that Lala's going to be the one that looks like the bigger asshole. I mean, I know a lot of people are annoyed with Sandoval this season because they find that he's being very arrogant or cocky or whatever. But still, like, Lala's ridiculous. She's absolutely ridiculous.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Now, speaking of ridiculous, now the Toms are hanging out over at, you know, Sandoval and Ariana's house. And, oh, Tom Schwartz brought a vision board. Oh, we're going to do a deep dive. Oh, yes, it could be a deep dive, a business session mixed with a hang session. So it's fun and games with the Toms and lights and mushrooms.
They do mushrooms. Yeah, they do mushrooms and roll around in the lights, cracking each other up. And it's annoying to watch. Okay.
It is.
That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say about it. I'm just like, don't need these scenes anymore.
Yeah, I refuse to even cover that. Next.
That's it. Next.
So, you got to tell me what you got to tell me, how to win, how to lose. So, Charlie's moving and she's joking with Corey. She's like, oh my God, your pants are ripped. So, Sheena and Brock come over. And Corey's like, you know what you guys can help us with? Like, tonight, the one thing we really need is, like, to watch a movie after all this is done. So could you, like, help us hang a TV?
And Brock is like, well, I know a really good guy who can do this under 7 minutes. You're looking at him. All right.
He's so supportive. It's like Sheena. It's like a sing-along of Sheena's greatest hits, you know? So he's like, yeah, I come to Hollywood and I look at the stars on the ground and it's like a hit list for me. We've got Rob, the 7 minute guy. We've got. And then we see a clip of Sheena like, I'm with a man who knows how to do everything. And Sheena's like, yeah, I mean, I've been with a lot of cool people like John Mayer, Jesse Metcalf. And he's like, Jesse Metcalf, or just play cards with that dude.
I like that Sheena just took control over Brock's list because she's like, we should start with the A-listers before we go with the Rob. So John Mayer, Jesse Metcalf. By the Eddie way, I just Cibrian. Wanted to say I know I was surprised we didn't get to Eddie Cibrian. I was like, I think that's what we were all thinking. I just want to point out that this was the first time we saw Corey, so I have to make my flash snap judgments because that's kind of my thing. So, yeah, I have to weigh in so that way I can have I want to have a take that I can regret for a few years. Okay, guys, so this is the moment. Okay, actually, I feel pretty good about my take, which was that when I first saw him, I was like, he was way hotter than I expected. Like in the pictures, he just looked like very average. But he was like, I actually was surprised that he was like much hotter, I thought. And then I was like, oh, he's hot, which means he's going to be terrible. And I think he's terrible. I think it's working out. I think my take is working out for me right now, Ronnie. Like based on the rest of the episode, I think he might be terrible. What did you think?
I just assume so. You know.
Yeah.
But
he's a hot guy on Vanderpump Rules. He's probably going to be terrible.
He hasn't earned my attention yet. That's wow. Where I stand with it. Right, I'm wow. trying to think of him right now, and he's like a fuzz. He's just like a fuzz over a face, like a fuzz filter on a face. So Charlie tells us this fascinating story. She's like, well, I wasn't going to move Corey from San Diego, but then we were in San Diego, and Sheena and Brock were in San Diego, and then I saw Sheena, and then I was like, oh my God, San Diego. But then we're like here, so we're here now.
Yeah, I'm gonna need Charlie to do a little better because she had so much. She was so great last season, and she showed so much promise at the beginning of the season. But like, these sort of scenes are not doing it for me. I have to say, I agree. That story was basically like you lived next to Sheena and Brock, and they may have had sex during that time, and you were next door when that happened. I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm not sure this qualifies for like The Moth, but maybe it qualifies for
The Moth.
It's for something.
The Sloth.
The Sloth.
The spinoff of The Moth with just idiots from Vanderpump Rules.
I would actually go to that.
So she's like, I'm going to have culinary night. And like, oh my God, like, to be honest, I would like, honestly, like everybody, like honestly there besides Lala. And Brock's like, yeah, because we're all good apples. You know, there's one who's not a good apple. All right. And Sheena's like, yeah, she's really good at making you think she's one way, but then she's really another way. She's like a reversible vest. No, she's like ankle warmers. Are they ankle warmers or are they leggings? Who really knows?
One of the great parts about being petite is that you can wear an ankle warmer. That's a halter top. So then, she's basically, Charlie's like, I just want to get blacked out of this thing. So, because I just want to be around supportive people and black out. And then Brock is like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. He thinks that's like the funniest thing he's ever heard. And then Charlie's like, I just want to like taste a bunch of food and I'm not going to be judged. Okay. I'm not going to be judged. Like, okay. So now we get back to the more pressing storyline of the day, which is Raquel and James at Dr. Paul Nassif's medical office. Getting ready for the consultation. And James is super, super nervous because he thinks he's going to get in trouble. And he thinks that Dr. Nassif is going to be like, well, everything was perfect, but your boyfriend ruined your nose. And so he's extremely antsy. Plus Lisa he's afraid of what Lisa's going to say to him and that maybe he'll lose. See you next Tuesday for the fifth time.
So she's like, yeah, she was really confused. She'd already had a sit down with the doctor and explain to him that my doctor messed up my nose. And he's like, well, he did kind of mess up your nose, didn't he? I mean, it wasn't a very kissable nose. Second I tried to kiss it, boom, got smashed. All right. He did a bad job. Yeah. So she's like, yeah, but it wasn't deviated before you bumped it. It was just crooked. And he's like, well, the timing is a bit annoying, isn't it? Because, you know, I mean, I have see you next Tuesday, and it's my first night back, sir. Like, you just had the woman's nose on her cheek, sir.
Yeah. And then he tells us, I mean, I'm here for Raquel's feelings, but you also have to take into my feelings too. I'm like, what are your feelings on this situation? Your poor girlfriend is tormented and tortured by this situation, and you're concerned about your like dead end DJ job once a week in the back garden of a West Hollywood restaurant? Come on.
Yeah. He's like, well, today's trial day for me, isn't it? I mean, was it your fault or was it not your fault, James? And he rolls his eyes. And he's, so Lisa gets there, and of course, he's totally fake, James. He's like, yeah. I just want to say I appreciate you so much, Lisa. I know you had to pull strings. You know, this is the guy, biggest guy in Beverly Hills. I mean, doesn't get much better than that, Raquel. Doesn't get much better than that.
And Lisa's like, how on earth do you almost headbutt her when you go kiss her? And he goes, I'm a man, Lisa. Don't you remember? I'm a man. So she goes, well, I've been married 39 years and Ked has never headbutted me on the nose. Although admittedly, he has bumped into my ankles many times. Oh, Ken. Okay, well, let's put you back in your dock, little man.
Might be his hide. He has boob-butted me before, darling. You know. So is this the truth? After you've lied the first time? And Raquel actually goes off to get her pictures taken by the nurse. And so Vanderpump tells James, so, James, you're going to have to learn to control that temper of yours. And he's like, like rolling his eyes.
Yeah. So Raquel's taking these photos. And if there's like poor, I feel so bad for Raquel because she really has a complex about her nose. I mean, it really honestly looks perfectly normal to me. Like if it's crooked, it's so slight. And honestly, the only time you really see it is when she like holds her head back, which we see her do this. And they just like zoom in on her like deviated septum. I'm like, God, this poor girl is going to watch this episode and be totally re-triggered.
I know. They show her like close-up pictures. And she's so pretty. And so Dr. Paul comes in and Vanderpump's like, Paul, this is James. And Raquel goes, my fiance. She's like, okay, so I just want to cut straight to the chase. Now, when I met you at my house, the story I gave you there wasn't the truth, Paul. Raquel, you're on the stand. And Raquel's like, well, a week after the cast was off, my fiance, his nose bumped into my nose when it went for a kiss. And like, he bumped my nose. And there's just silence while Paul looks at her like, why would you think I give a fuck?
Okay? I know.
I'm about to take $32,000 from you for like breaking your nose and reforming it. Okay.
He's like, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention because I was listening to the sound of coins falling into my bank account. There they are. Cha-ching! Like the Venmo noise goes off. So he goes and takes a look and he goes, okay, Raquel, I know you are very concerned about your nose. So let's put it up on a big screen and here's a pointer and look, here's where it's crooked and you look really ridiculous. And now we could add some stuff from here to make it look less ridiculous, but it'll still look pretty ridiculous. How you feeling now, Raquel? Like it's just like so much her nose on display. I felt so bad for her.
He says, first, this is the cartilage, and it's crooked. And then you've got a deviated septum. That's got to be fixed. You know, the more tip work you do, the more it collapses. She's like, oh, my God, do you think that waiting tables had something to do with it? I do a lot of tip work. He's like, your nose, Raquel. Your nose, okay?
So as this gets smaller, your nostrils have to get wider. So what I'm proposing is we just remove the nose overall and then put on one of those plastic cow masks on where the nose used to be, and it'll look won't look like a nose, but it'll certainly be funny. And you know, yeah, it's like your funny.
He's like, your tip falling in caused your nose holes to fall in, so you need bigger holes. And James is like, no, not bigger holes. I don't want a woman with bigger holes. Come on, mate. Vanderpump's like, darling, that might cost extra. You don't need to breathe. Just breathe through your mouth, darling. Through your mouth.
So like, well, where does this cartilage come from that's supposed to go and like, you know, fortify your nose? It's like, oh, well, you know, we'll make a little incision below the breast and we take a little bit of rib and put the rib in the nose. She's got ribs on her nose. I don't even understand this. Okay. I don't even like ribs. Okay. Spare ribs, baby back ribs. Don't want them. No, no. It's terrible. It might not even be perfect. I don't know what Raquel's thinking when she hears that. It's like, if anything like the other two, then we have a problem. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, he doesn't want her to do that because then she's going to have a small scar on her breast and you're basically messing with his trophy, you know?
Yeah.
And he's laughing at himself. He's so fucking disgusting. My God, James is really a fucking pig. So she's like, and now you know the complete story. So what are your thoughts? And James is like doing big frowny face. And Paul's like, well, number one, did the kiss cause this? I doubt it. And James is like, yes! Yes, nailed it! Nailed it!
Yeah, he's just like smiling and clapping back there. Like, it's so ridiculous. But Paul's basically, they're like, well, can you fix it? And he's like, I can give you a very good improvement, which does not sound to me like a, oh, yeah, don't worry, this will be totally fine. It's a, we're going to try to do the best, but we'll probably make it worse kind of vibe.
Yeah, he's saying, well, I'm not going to promise perfection now. And if you get a discount, you're going to have a tiny botch tattoo, which might look like a very long mole. Some people, you know, works on some people it doesn't. And James just tells us, yoo-hoo, this means I'm not responsible for paying for the next nose job, eh?
He goes, this helped a lot. I know I feel better. I'm like, oh, I'm glad you feel better, James, with your not nose issues.
Disgusting. So, slam, we bring the fire. Slam, we bring the fire. Sir, James is there. All the gang is at Sir for see you next Tuesday. And Vanderpump has given him a new place for his DJ stand. And so he's all excited about that. And James is like, welcome back. It's full-fledged, baby. So everybody, like, dances to his terrible music.
Yeah.
And then Vanderpump goes to sit down with Katie, Ariana, and Tom. And Tom's like, you should have tried the mushrooms the other night, Lisa. And she's like, taking mushrooms and rolling around on the floor or something. I don't need, darling. I've got, there's already one spouse rolling around the floor all day long, darling. Ken, and plug yourself in. Back to home, Ken. Back to home.
So she just like,
and then it gets in his home, Doc.
So Sheena's like, it's so weird being here and not working, and like, this is like where I danced on the bar like many a Tuesday, and like, I'm getting a little sad right now when I think about it. So of course we then get the footage of her singing Good as Gold on the bar, and then
just terribly. I mean, my God, Sheena singing live is just like, ouch. So Vanderpump goes to Lala and Rand's table, and she's like, can you believe a baby came out of that body, darling?
Yeah, and Randall's like, he's like, yeah, I know, right? It's like me trying to figure out, can you believe two fried chicken sandwiches went into this body, am I right? Hey, by the way, sorry I missed your thing the other night. I apologize. I was wanking. I was working, huh?
What a shame. I would like to invite everyone over again for an action replay. Or you can just come over to have drinks and appetizers at my place tomorrow. So Ken's just sitting there going, drinks and appetizers at the house would be lovely. It's a backyard. Just like door goes out of the backyard.
Lovely. Ken, get back to home. So the LVP, she's Lala. How are you tonight? How are things with you and you know who? And she's like, well, I haven't made eye contact with Sandoval all night. And she goes, well, it's up to you if you want to talk to him or not. But if you do talk to him and he hurts your feelings, please come back to Mama so I can absorb all that energy, please.
And Lala's like, well, I would rather talk to him tonight before he builds more rage. You know, and we have to do it without an audience, because with an audience, he always wants to measure dicks, and mine is always going to be bigger. You left crying and calling him a bully, so you might want to remeasure.
Yeah. So then Charlie's serving some shots over at the Tom's table, and she's like, this is my peace offering for letting me, you know, have my... my shared tapas experience at your place. It's a potluck, Charlie. It's a potluck. So she's telling Katie. Oh, she actually says it right here. She goes, I'm having a little culinary party where we're all going to bring our own food and try each other's plates and take tequila shots. It's a brand new concept I'm coming up with called shared tapas. It's like, potluck. It's a potluck.
And then we see a clip of her shopping with Ariana, and she's like, you know, it's going to be really hard to have my party where everybody brings something and we all share some tapas. But we're just moving, and so I really don't have room to do it. And Ariana's just staring at her. Like, it's just like a long pause, and she goes, so do you want to do it at my house? Oh my God, that would be great. Thank you so much. What a great idea.
I was thinking it'd be sort of this thing, like, we could all, like, pitch in, like, put all our money into a pot, and then whatever we eat, it's just sort of like the luck of the draw. I don't really know what to call this kind of event.
Potluck!
I like that Tom and Ariana's house is becoming, like, the Villa Blanca for the C-level cast. You know, it's like the bees get to go to actual Villa Blanca, and then that's the house that they're going to use for all the other parties. So then Lala comes over and puts her hands on the back of, you know, from the back on Tom's face. She's like, can I talk to you for a sec? And he's like, yeah, of course. So they go talk, and she's like, listen, I don't like the way things worked out. And, like, I don't want to start out saying you owe me an apology, but, like, what have I done that I have not acknowledged and apologized for that you're still holding on to?
Well, Lala, you've established your boundaries about what we can and cannot bring up, and what we, and when it comes to your personal life, and I respect that. I always have. But when you brought up this stuff about Brock and Sheena, it felt like a little bit double standard-ish. And I felt like your boundaries were respected, but theirs weren't. And nobody ever brought anything up to you, ever. Not with Randall. And then she's like, I have been labeled a home-wrecking whore with Tupac on the inside. Okay, so please. And then we see
clips. Lala trying to talk to Katie and saying, like, you've been throwing rocks at me. And Katie going, what? Because I called you, like, a whore? Katie, the ultimate feminist that we're all seeing here today, everybody. And then Jack saying, go suck some more dick for Range Rovers. And Lala saying, James sent me a text message that I'm a whore and I only like ugly dudes.
Yeah. I mean, Lala's not wrong. She has been labeled that.
So, not by them. And Tom makes a good point. He stood up for her in the beginning. Yeah. He said he didn't like it. They were your friend when nobody else would be your friend, Lala. And all that happened, it wasn't Tom. It wasn't Sheena. It was Jax, Katie, and James, who are now nice to you because you have access to a PJ. Okay? So keep on fucking over the only people who have ever really been nice to you on this show. Stupid.
That's true. And so Lala's like, I'm held to a different standard than the rest of the group. And I don't belong. And I feel like everyone's isolating me. It's like, so this shtick worked in the beginning because everyone did isolate her.
And it was true.
Everyone was so mean. And that's why we were rooting for her. Like, I love Lala because they were so obnoxious and she would just go and curse them all out. But now she's actually being obnoxious at all times.
She's turned into that.
Like, yeah, people are like, we don't want to really hang out with her. She went on, let's not forget, it's sort of been lost. She went on to that podcast and just totally, like, went in on Ariana for no reason. And then Ariana's like, fuck her. Like, she creates these issues. And then she's surprised that people have negative reactions towards them.
Also changing it. She's also changing it because that's not what the fight is about. No one's isolating you. The fight is about you calling out Brock every scene for being a deadbeat dad and getting called out for it. That's it. It's not about you being isolated. She's trying to make it this whole other discussion where she can be a victim and not have to address the initial thing, right? So he's, you know, staying very calm. And he says, you did that to yourself. She goes, no, I do not. He goes, you do though, Lala. And she goes, well, I deserve as much forgiveness as everybody else. But you haven't apologized for anything. Yeah. What did you apologize for? And he just says, okay, I understand. Because, you know, the Ariana was like, hey, heads up. This girl is calling you an abusive misogynist. So
she's
might want to calm down.
Yeah. So they agree that they're going to do better, which is basically a way to say we don't want to talk anymore. So now we go over to Tom and Ariana's house because they're going to get preparing for the big shared tapas evening. And Ariana's like, Tom, can you just take down the lights? She's like, I think it would be cool if at some point in our lives we had people over and you didn't put lights out.
But I like the lights. I like them.
So Corey and Charlie show up, and Charlie's really excited, but she's also starting to freak out. And then Brock and Sheena arrive. And Sheena, so there's a whole bit that comes up in a few seconds about Sheena's enchiladas, but what I feel like was never even highlighted in this bit was that she comes in with a baking dish full of her enchiladas, and the baking dish says, Sheena's Fab Enchiladas. She has a personalized baking dish for her enchiladas.
Which I kind of was cracking up at that. So Charlie is like, oh my God, did you bring a whole ass lobster, you guys? Because everyone comes with food. But Charlie didn't, right? Charlie didn't actually bring food, which is weird. Like, you're hosting, you're getting this hosted at somebody else's house and everybody else is bringing food. What are you doing, Charlie? What exactly are you doing? So she thanks everyone for coming and everyone announces what they brought. Katie brought carnitas, tacos, and James brought samosas. I brought fab enchiladas. Fab enchiladas, I've got proof.
I brought that. And then they do, Charlie's like, yeah, I think we've all heard about Sheena's famous enchiladas, and then we see like an enchiladas remix of Sheena being like, I got enchiladas, can't wait for the enchiladas, 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 enchiladas.
And so they do some shots and Charlie's like, oh my God, I just had something new, wow. So then we go to Villa Rosa with Randall and Lala, and Lala's like, you know, like, I feel like I'm, like, vibing the scene of the crime. Oh, I feel like I'm returning to the scene of the crime. So, oh my God, the dogs are barking. What do you think they're saying when they bark like that? I'm sure they're asking each other the same question about you. So she comes in and sits. Yeah. And Vanderpump's like, when are you getting married? I'm the maid of honor. Don't forget, darling.
Yeah, and she's like, and so Randall says, well, when the fall comes, we're going to plan for next year. She goes, next year? And he's like, apparently Randall really wants a big production, which I totally believe. I think he totally wants John Travolta to be there. He wants 50 Cent. He wants Robert De Niro and Bruce Willis. He wants to do a whole thing, right? And Lala's like, yeah, I just want the backyard. That's all. I'm just such a – I am so humble. I'm just Lala Kent, the humble, humble Lala Kent. And I said – we don't even have to get married. Let's just like stay together because we're happy. And if things go south, you could just dip out on me. You don't have to worry about anything legally. I'm like, sure, Lala. Oh,
yeah, mm-hmm. Except that you know the common law marriages and you just had his baby. So, right. Like she hasn't done all that math in her head. She's like, just me, yeah. Humble Lala. She's carrying a platter that says Lala's Humble Enchiladas.
She's just Humbleadas. She's just, you know what, she's in this mode. She's in adult mode now because she's on a double date with Ken and Lisa. So now she's going to be like, I'm mature about everything. I'm fine. I'm not immature. So I think that's, she's just sort of trying to play that card at the moment.
Right. So Lala's like, well, Katie came up to me at Sir and she's like, so are you going to that thing at Tom and Ariana's house tomorrow night? And I'm like, come again? And Rand is like, I hate when you say that. It's not as easy as you think, all right? Shut up, Rand. We're not talking about you.
Okay. And so Lisa, she gets like excited. She gets a little bit of the like, oh, face. Because she goes, oh, they invited everybody but to the house. But you, would you say that has broken you slightly, ever so slightly? Let me waft it in. Let me waft it in. Oh.
She's like, this is more my speed. While they're in Valley Village, I'm in Beverly Hills. So she's like, yeah, she's like, it's nice to be low key. And I'll be honest, it's nice to be around people that have just one glass of wine. So then we cut to the other party where Raquel's just like doing shots.
The fun times. Yeah, Raquel's getting drunk and James is doing water shots. And so they're splitting into two tables and Sheena's like, well, I just like really want to see Charlie's face when she tries my fat enchiladas. And so now it's time for Charlie to start the process. So she's going to start with a tough one, the hardest one first. She's going for a muscle. So she is like, they're showing her how to pick it out. She like scoops it out with a fork and she puts it in her mouth and the music's like, bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum. And it's like, I'm like scared for her because the music, I'm very reactive to music. And then she like does a face like she's going to puke. And she's like, oh. Then she goes, actually, that's not bad. That's actually really good. That's really good.
So she was like, so nervous. She's like, I never thought in my life I would ever be trying mussels or sashimi of fish. So next time I go to Mastro's, I'm getting a glass of wine and I'm going to be a fancy bitch. And so the music stops and she's like, oh my God, gross. Don't tell Sheena. Don't really love the enchiladas. The texture's weird.
And she just cuts to Sheena going, enchiladas.
Enchiladas. So Raquel asks, like making small talk, how the bar is going. And they say that Friday they have their meeting with the mission statement. And Katie's like, oh, so when are you going to see it next? Because I think I should come. And Schwartz is like, well, I might be distracted there. But I mean, okay, I guess you can come. She's like, Tom, I'm coming. He's like, okay, Bubba, okay.
Yeah. And then she's like, Sandoval, like, Lala was there. Did you guys talk or did you guys avoid each other?
She's asking Sheena, and Sheena's like, I feel like I didn't have anything to say. I mean, did she say anything to you about me? And Kitty just goes, and then we see a clip of Lala going, she is a dangerous person. She is a dangerous person. And Kitty's like, just like she's sort of at a similar impasse of things. And Brock chimes in. He's like, to have Lala coming at me for confiding in Lisa and saying that just because I cried, I'm a liar. It's like, well, when Lala feels dogpiled, she's going to be like, whew, it's going to come from an ugly place. It's going to come from an ugly place.
Yeah, and she knows, like, that's dangerous. I'm not dangerous. That's dangerous. And Brock says, she's the one that says I'll treat you guys disrespectfully because that's me and accept it, you know? And she goes, yeah, she does this to herself. So then,
back to Lala. She's like, so I realized when I was talking to Tom that no one in this group actually knows me. She's like, but darling, you have to realize you've changed, Lala. You've molted. And Ken's like, you're not the same person you used to be at all, Rocio. Not at all. Ken, this is Lala from the restaurant. No idea who this is, darling.
She says, well, I feel like I'm a better person, and that makes me sad, which is a phrase that you would only be heard on Vanderpump Rules. So then she starts choking up and she goes, I'm a different person, but like in a very short span of time, like I lost my dad. I got sober. I became a stepmother. Even though I'm not married and I had a baby, and like, it does not feel good when you feel like everyone else has earned their place, but Lala still has to prove herself. Like the issue is still there. And now Lisa's like, oh yes. Oh, this is the broken bird I wanted. Yes, just
no one is asking. No one's asking you to prove yourself. You're being an asshole, and they're calling you out on it. You're still trying to make other people look bad for camera time. So in the end, all that change means nothing because you're still at heart a complete dickhole. Okay.
And she's also leading with all those things as if that to justify all like asshole behavior. She's like, "Well, my dad died," which is terrible, but she's sort of like. She leaned into like her dad dying, getting sober, all these things.
Oh, she's doing like, all the greatest hits today. It's like yeah. The dad is all the victim things she can roll up into one story. The bullying. I'm being bullied. I'm being ostracized. I'm this and that. She's taking like real life victim storylines and applying them to her being an asshole and being called out on it.
Yeah. So over at the potluck, they're toasting to trying new things. And then Sheena's like, all right, guys, we've got to get home to our baby, which we have at home. It's a baby, and we're going to have a baby to go home to right now. Baby!
So game time. So everybody runs over to the living room to play a game. And Charlie and Raquel are all drunk, so they're dancing around. And Raquel's like, we're Charlie and Rachel. We're here to serve your tables. Woo-hoo!
And Corey's like, I've never seen Raquel buzz, and she is fun as shit. Yeah. So now they're going to play a game, and it's sort of some sort of game that they have, and they have to do like a lightning round first. So it's like, okay, first ladies. So Ariana starts, she goes, Michelle Obama. And then Kitty goes, Hillary Clinton. And Charlie goes, Jackie O. But then it gets to Raquel, and Raquel, you know, she doesn't do well with like public speaking. So she sort of freezes. So Charlie whispers in her ear to try to help her. They're like, no, 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 no.
She doesn't do well with public speaking. She was just yelling, hey, I'm Raquel. We're your servers. She doesn't know. She does not know. That's why. So
well, yes, but she doesn't like being put on the spot about things she doesn't know. Makes her not knowingness even stronger.
It intensifies the not knowingness of Raquel. Yeah. So then they play Truth or Dare, and there's a 30-second hand job to the most phallic thing in the room. And she goes, oh, my God, what does phallic mean?
Oh my God, I love the Tonight Show. That's Fallon, Jimmy Fallon. So Ariana's. So then there's like.
I love Blossom. Theme. That's Mayim Bialik. Doesn't even sound like phallic. Okay. I love Family Ties. That's Alex Keaton. Oh my God. All right, we're never playing another game again.
So then now they're doing Never Have I Ever, and there's a question about plastic surgery. Like, never have I ever had plastic surgery. So Raquel goes, well, I just had a consultation about revising my nose surgery. And everyone's like, you had nose surgery? We didn't even know about that. She's like, no, I just feel like like, of course my nose is crazy. Of course you had to have known. Like, I feel like it's fake when you say you didn't know, because she thinks her nose is like this blimp, right? So she thinks they're, when she thinks they're being totally insincere when they said they didn't even realize, but they didn't realize. And so she starts to cry, and she's like, I look in the mirror and I think, can I get away with it or not? And she's just like crying. And then it cuts to Corey, and he makes crazy eyes like, this crazy bitch. I thought she was fun when she was drunk, but I take that back. I was like, yes, I knew he was terrible. He's terrible.
Well, they're all the guys are just like, what is going on in here? So then she's like, it's embarrassing because I thought I would go pay $16,000 and now it's going to cost me $30,000 to fix it. And I'm like, no, Rico, no. And she's like, they show her with her phone calculator and she's like, so $30,000 divided by $200 a shift is 150 shifts I would have to work at Surf for my new nose.
Well, I guess that's 6 months of work or so, or I don't know. So then, either way, by the way, getting that ice cream social. So James is like, and do you know how stressful this is for me, dude? For me. And Ariana's like, for you? And James is like, I mean, who's staring at her nose every single night? Me, her crooked nose. I'm the one. And Ariana's like, no, she is. She's the one looking at in the mirror every day.
And she's like, it's my fucking face that I have to look at every day in the mirror. And he's like, well, I was the one who warned you this was never going to happen. And Ariana's like, okay, but that's not going to help. That's going to just make her feel worse, okay? And she tells us, stressful because he has to look at it. James should probably never say that again.
Yeah. So they go back to the game, and the category is boy band. And Charlie's like, oh my God, this is easy. So James goes, okay, well then try not to tell Raquel the answer this time. God. So, okay. So they start with the lightning round of boy bands. Ariana's like, Backstreet Boys. And Katie goes, NSYNC. And Charlie goes, One Direction. But then again, Raquel's like, So then Charlie whispers something in her ear. She's James gets so mad. He's like, it's pretty fucking annoying playing a drinking game with everyone sober, and you're sober, and everyone's getting shit faced on absinthe.
And he's like, Tom, are you even listening? We're on rappers now. Rappers, all right? Listen, I'm yelling because everyone else doesn't shut the fuck up, all right? So if you can't think of it, please refrain from yelling because it destroys the whole point. Charlie! And she's like, sorry, jeez.
As someone who loves his games, I think that what's destroying the vibe is you yelling at everyone when there's not even teams.
There's all. I think it's boys versus girls, but it's always there's always that guy in the game, right?
Like, yeah,
like it's always this fucking guy in the game.
Way too competitive over a game that no one's taking seriously.
Right. So Charlie's like, sorry. Jeez, he's like, do you not know how to play the game, Charlie? She's like, God, I'm sorry. Oh, games like enchiladas. You've never had them before. She's like, okay, I got it. So they start answering. Ariana's like, Kanye West. And Charlie says, Biggie Smalls. And Raquel's like, the stuff with Christmas trees on it. It's like, not rappers. Not gift rapping. Not rapping. Rappers, Raquel.
So then Tom Schwartz is like, oh, James Kennedy, I can't believe you didn't say that. Because I literally had a top 100 Billboard chart in Dubai, and you still don't even know my name. How do you think I feel? I'm Liechtenstein's number 45 most popular rapper, and you still can't even think of my name. How do you think I feel about that, okay?
He goes, how do you not even think? And God, this guy is really just such a piece of shit. I just can't stress that enough. Like, it's not even fun at this point. And then we get a clip of him rapping his terrible fucking music. Back in the days, 14 years, London Town, something, something. Went on vacay. Yes, it was a teaser. Later found out she was going to Ibiza.
Yeah, and then James...
Can't believe you're not top of mind.
I know. And so James in his interview says, I mean, this is just annoying at this point. I mean, Raquel, she can't even answer one question right. I mean, it's winding me up. I'm like a monkey with a tambourine in my hands. If you wind me up too much, I'm going to start going like fucking ha, 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 ha. I'm like, no, don't blame her because you can't control your emotions in a very stupid situation. You can't have a scene a few weeks ago where your fiancé talks about how much anxiety she has when being put on the spot to talk and say you're going to support her, but now say that she's being annoying, that she can't get one answer correct in a low stakes situation, and that's winding you up. And you tell her, how could you not think, no, sir, you do not deserve Raquel.
Also, you call yourself a musician and you don't know what a tambourine is. Okay, noted. So he's like, Raquel is out of that round, so we're just going to continue. Cypress Hill, go. Sorry you guys are so dumb you can't figure it out. And Charlie's like, God, we're not dumb, because they were kind of making faces like, after he yelled Cypress at them. Hill. So he snapped at them.
Yeah, because he was trying to be like cool by saying Cypress Hill, like sort of like a deeper cut. And they're like, ooh, Cypress Hill. So then he gets all mad, like, sorry you guys are dumb. So they're like, okay. They're like, fine, fuck this. So Raquel just like walks away. Like, I'm not going to play this game anymore, and don't call me dumb. Good for you, Raquel.
Well, kind of. I mean, not really. This is how she did it. Sorry, babe. And then she got up and walked away. And said, I don't need this. That's fine. So she walked away, and Charlie's like, you can't call us dumb. And he's like, well, you made fun of the fact that I'll carry it on with the guy. And Tom's like, chill, dude.
And by the way, boyfriend of the year, Corey, who just heard someone call his girlfriend dumb and just sits there and says nothing. By the way.
Yeah, fun show. Fun episode, guys.
And then James is like, was that a bit much? It's like, oh, God, James. You know, he'll have an episode where you're like, good for James. And then you'll be like, oh, he's still awful. I always forget how awful he is.
He sucks. This guy sucks. I mean, he gets worse every fucking year. And it's worse now because he's sober. It's like, at least before you had, well, he's saying he's sober. I don't know that he's really sober because he's really freaking out at a party with alcohol stills. But anyway, whether he's sober or not, at least that was his excuse for a long time. And he sucks. Like, you're worse now. You're worse. Fucking terrible. I hope she gets rid of him.
I hope so too, because she's a saint. So thank you all for being here, for listening, and for those who watched, for watching. Don't forget to buy your tickets to our shows. That's at watchwhatcrappens.com. And if you want to watch this or future ones, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Until then, we'll be back with another Crappens on Demand with Winter House tomorrow. So thanks,
we sure
everyone.
We will be.
Yeah, we sure will be. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody. Everyone. Thank you.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're letting the catlet out of the bag. It's Lily Catlet.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel. It's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.